Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Great to have you with me today on this Tuesday edition. And we have started just yesterday a series on steps to revival that we have been beginning, that we have begun with Derek on the theme of love. And it really has been wonderful. I'm thrilled that rather than just rushing ahead to talking about building spiritual Disneylands, that Derek has started us on the solid ground of talking about love as a precondition to revival. He's going to continue that theme today. Now, if you've missed yesterday, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll find yesterday's teaching, this whole series, other series, and all kinds of great information on Derek Prince Ministries. So listen, get a pad, get a pencil, get your Bible. Let's take some notes because we need revival in America. And remember, if you were with us yesterday, you may recall that God gave Derek a prophecy that great revival would happen in the United States and Great Britain. Well, I don't believe the fulfillment of that has fully come yet. So let's listen now as Derek teaches us on steps to revival.
In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter gives us the primary evidence of being born again. Now, many of you here this evening would claim to be born again. I have to confess, I'm almost tired of hearing the phrase, born again. My citizenship, well, I have two citizenships. One in Britain, one in America, and I have a third, too, in heaven. I have three citizenships. But I've lived most of my past 30 years or so, most of it, but not all of it, in the United States. And it is frequently claimed in America today that there are 40 million born-again Christians in America. My response is, where are they and what are they doing? Because the country is going downhill with incredible rapidity. I think the words born-again have become a cliché that can be used by people who want to be respectable but don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to undergo any radical transformation, but they want to think of themselves as nice people who are headed for heaven. But this is what Peter says about the new birth. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. What is the evidence that we have been born again? In one word. I didn't hear you. Thank you. Peter says you couldn't love the way you love if you hadn't been born again. But that's not enough. He says, go on and purify your hearts till you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And that is directly associated with the new birth. A whole lot of teaching about the new birth absolutely misses the mark and deceives people. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of well-meaning people who think they will get to heaven who will be disappointed. They use the term born again as a sort of passport. Being saved is more than a change of a label. You used to sit in the church and you had on your back the label sinner. Now you sit there and you've got on your back the label saved or born again. Salvation is not just going forward in a church, shaking the pastor by the hand, going forward in a crusade, signing a decision card, or going through any other kind of religious rigmarole. Being saved is a total life transformation. Amen. Which takes you from darkness to light and makes you no longer a slave of Satan but a slave of God. If there's one truth that needs to be emphasized today in Britain, in the United States, and in other countries with a long Christian heritage, it is that salvation isn't what a lot of people call it. And some of you here tonight who call yourself saved, frankly, you are not saved. You're mildly religious, you're a little better than some of your neighbors, but your relationship with God is very insecure and shaky. Then in 1 John chapter 4, the passage that Ruth and I quoted, we have the evidence that a person knows God. We just read 2 verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you plumb that statement to its depth, it's remarkable, because it means there is a kind of love that a person cannot have unless he's been born again. Only those who have been born again can have that kind of love. If all you have or I have is the kind of love that is known around the world, it's no evidence that we've been born again. And then John goes on to say, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. What's the evidence that you know God? In one word?
Love.
I didn't hear you.
Love.
That's right. A lot of people that I know, and I deal with a whole lot of people from different backgrounds, different denominations, different nationalities, I would say if they're saved, they're saved by a stranger. Let me give you a little example. There you are in a river, sinking for the third time. Somebody plunges in from the bank, rescues you, fishes you out, puts you wet and dripping as you are in the seat of his beautifully upholstered car, drives you off to his home, takes off your dripping clothes, gives you a new set of clothes to wear, takes care of your needs, and then says, from now on, let's be friends. You know where I live. Here's my phone number. You can phone me anytime you like. Come and see me. And that person never goes back to the one who saved him from drowning. I would say, saved by a stranger. Saved, but you never come to know the person who saved you. He who does not love does not know God. You may know a lot of scripture. You may have a lot of religious theory. You may be a member of a church. But if you don't love, you don't know God. And you're much the poorer for it. Because if there's one person who is really worthwhile getting to know, it's God.
You know, I hate to be sarcastic about what Derek is saying, but if 1 Peter chapter 1 actually tells us that the evidence of being born again is sincere love of God's people, we're kind of in trouble, aren't we? We must take hold of this truth, that the evidence of knowing Jesus Christ is the love of God flowing in our lives. Let's make that our prayer and our confession in these coming days. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Most believers know that fasting is beneficial and can make fresh spiritual power available in times of need. But very few know why. Here's good news. Derek Prince, widely known for his deep insights on the power and practice of fasting, reveals those insights in his powerful little book, How to Fast Successfully. Inside, you'll discover the spiritual truths behind the why, when, and how of fasting. And you'll find practical instruction for releasing the power of fasting in your own life. Call now to receive your copy of How to Fast Successfully, absolutely free. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the book are both free. Through fasting, you'll hear God's voice more clearly, be more effective in prayer, and see breakthroughs in hard-to-overcome habits. Call now to get your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are on the second day of a series that Derek has been teaching us about steps to revival. And in the segment we're about to hear, in the portion of the teaching that he's about to share with us, we're going to hear about how nothing matters, as it says in the New International Version, nothing matters except faith working by love. Let's listen as Derek teaches us on steps to revival.
Now, let's turn for a moment to the connection between faith and works. And we'll turn to the epistle of James. Some people think that there was a conflict between James and Paul. I don't. I think they just stated two opposite aspects of the same truth. Before I was saved, I was a professional philosopher, and my subject was logic. And I'd like to say, just by word of personal testimony, the most logical book I have ever read is the Bible. And the most logical book in the Bible is the Epistle to the Romans. And their logic is absolutely flawless. There are no inconsistencies. They are correct all through. But let's look at James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what James is saying, and he said in the chapter, you can say you have faith, but if it doesn't express itself in what you do, it's a dead faith. You can say to somebody, be warmed and fed and have a good time, but if you don't sacrifice and give them what they need, it's just empty words. So what James is saying is, merely professing faith is not enough. He doesn't say it's wrong. He says it's insufficient. It has to be worked out by the things you do. What is called in the Bible works. Now, how is faith expressed in works? What is the biblical way to express our faith in works? There is one scripture. Let's go back to Galatians, one of my favorite epistles. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let me say this, if you've never been shocked by what you've read in the Bible, you've never read the Bible. Because it is a shocking book. And it's most shocking for religious people. I think it was Mark Twain who said, it isn't the scriptures that I don't understand that trouble me, it's the ones I do understand. Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So how does faith work? I didn't hear you. Thank you. So when we have faith, but it doesn't work through love, what kind of faith do we have? A dead faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith works through love. Therefore, faith without love is dead. Would you dare to say that after me? Faith without love is dead. All right, now turn and say it to your neighbor on the right or the left. Faith without love is dead. You've said a very significant and far-reaching statement. You don't know what you've put your foot in. Because what it means is, you may have the most meticulously accurate doctrinal faith, dot every I and cross every T, and yet your faith may be totally dead if it isn't expressed in love. Right. And the problem is that I think, and this is merely my personal observation, the majority of church activity in this nation today is not even aimed at producing love. It's aimed at establishing certain doctrinal truths or commenting on the political situation or the situation in the Middle East. But there's no real... I've said this many times to people. If you aim at nothing, you can be sure you'll hit it. Yeah. I don't want to seem critical, but I am British. I mean, I grew up in this nation. I was christened, confirmed. And you may be surprised to know, Ruth and I attend an Anglican church every week in Jerusalem, and we love it. I was a rebel against the Anglican church for many years. I said a lot of unkind things about them. From experience, they weren't untrue, but they were unkind. And I think... I think God wouldn't let me finish my life career without putting it right with the Anglican church. Today, all my complaints are laid down. All my criticisms, I no longer bother to make them. It is so easy to criticize a church. It doesn't require any cleverness. Yep. But to change a church, that is a task. So faith without love is dead.
You know, the church has wrestled with this whole issue of faith and works and faith for thousands of years.
The fact is that we need both in our lives, and what Derek is teaching us makes this clear. If we truly know Jesus, we'll do the works of God. We'll have works in our lives. We need both faith and works. Listen, Derek's going to return to wrap this up in just a few moments, and then we'll have some time with the president of Derek Prince Ministries. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
What stands between you and your God-given dreams? What hinders you from walking out God's purpose for your life? The world constantly distracts us, taking our focus off of the things of God. But no distraction is greater than God's desire to restore us to a place of peace and purpose. In his classic book, The Doorway to Restoration, Derek Prince dissipates the distractions to reveal God's wonderful doorway to a powerful, purpose-filled life. To order your copy of The Doorway to Restoration for only $9.95, call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. You can walk through God's doorway to restoration. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I hope you've been with us all today and all of yesterday as we've been talking about Steps to Revival, a powerful teaching by Derek Prince. If you haven't heard it, you can just log on to our website at derekprince.org, and you'll find all of this teaching and a whole lot more besides. Now, in a few moments, the president of Derek Prince Ministry is going to be with us, but let's listen now as Derek Prince talks to us about Steps to Revival.
Now, let me just give you a little bit for the Pentecostals, Charismatics, people like myself who speak in tongues and believe in spiritual gifts. And I never knew there was a way to be a Christian without speaking in tongues, because when I got saved, I spoke in tongues. It took me a long while to discover there was any other kind of Christian. So believe me, if there's anybody here who believes in speaking in tongues and spiritual gifts, I'm one of them. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That's startling. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be speaking not in a human tongue, but in the tongue of angels? When I was in the deserts of North Africa after I had met the Lord, I had no Christian fellowship. I had to have fellowship with the Lord, and I used to pray many, many times in tongues. And I observed that I used one tongue which had no S sounds in it. And I've often wondered whether that was an angelic tongue. I don't know, but at least it's perfectly possible, according to Scripture, to talk not merely in the tongues of men, but also of angels. When Paul says, even if I do that and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm just an empty noise without love. Somebody said, is it possible to misuse the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The answer is definitely yes. Any use without love is a misuse.
Yep.
And then Paul goes on, although I have the gift of prophecy, and that's very popular today, and understand all mysteries and knowledge, I have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and though I have all faith, which is another thing that's very popular today, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It's easy for us to think of other people to whom that might apply. But why don't we see if it applies to us? And then he goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. And I thought about that. There are some ministers who've profited others, but it has not profited them. You can help other people and yet be unhelped yourself without love. And then in the next chapter, chapter 14, Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So Paul is not against spiritual gifts, but he says, get your priorities right. Priority number one is not spiritual gifts, it's love. I think it is... Whoever translated the New Testament first recently, what was his name? J.B. Phillips, thank you for that. J.B. Phillips, he translates this, make love your aim. I think that's a good translation. Make love your aim.
You know, I love this emphasis on love as a precondition and also a fruit of revival. I've been a student of revivals throughout history, and I can tell you that many revivals have resulted in church splits and hassles and fights because of the fruit of that revival was not love. And we're going to talk just a little bit today about the history of revivals and some of the great hallmarks of revivals. With me in the studio today is Dick Leggett, the president of Derek Prince Ministries. Dick, it's great to have you with us again.
Stephen, good to see you again.
Man, I tell you, I love the subject of revival, and I love Derek's approach to it. You know, as a student of revival over the years, I've been impressed by how revivals can produce marvelous things in a society. For example, when Charles Finney preached in America, I mean, he launched a movement of caring and benevolence that changed our society. But at the same time, many revivals produce splits and hassles and fights, and you can tell that love is not the fruit of the revival. So thank God for this emphasis.
It's a really vital theme for the day and for today. And I think the thing that really impresses me is that Derek's right on top of this. And again, with Derek's teaching, he's looking ahead from where he presented this into the future. And I think this couldn't be more timely. You know, the United States of America and the world right now so desperately need the kind of revival that Derek is talking about. And it's a revival that has reality at its base. It's not just some religious exercise that we're talking about here. We're talking about lives and nations being changed by the Word of God.
But if it's true that the society goes as the church goes, or some people say, as goes the church, so goes society, then what? It's the church that needs reviving. I mean, we sometimes are incautious about our language. Only something that's been alive before can be made alive again, and that's what revival is. So we need revival in the church so that we can have evangelism in the world. That's really what's taking place. And as I look back over the revivals that I've studied, many times those revivals came about because people repented of their sins, because they were prayer covenants. We're going to pray until the city is changed, that kind of thing. And there have been some massively transforming revivals in history that have changed whole cultures, changed cities. And yet in the most genuine ones, love was always the major fruit.
That's right. Well, I'll go you one better, Stephen. I mean, we talk in terms of the church as some kind of ubiquitous, amorphous kind of an entity out there. Really, revival begins with you and me.
Yes.
It begins when somebody like you, somebody like I would look at our lives and we say, man, it's got to change. I've got to face up to the fact that I've got to take a step of faith. You know, just the whole topic that Derek's been sharing on, love. How many times do I look in my life and I see so many things that I've done that are so unloving, so uncharitable, and I say, that's got to change. And revival, really, when you break it down to the irreducible minimum, it begins with a person. And like you said, the great revivals that began, many times they began because one person stepped up to the bar and they basically said, okay, I am going to confess my sin now. Mm-hmm. And when other people saw that happening, they said, wow, I got to do it too.
Well, and as Derek has taught in a number of his books, the whole course of history has been changed when revivals have broken out. Here in America, the course of the Civil War was changed, the course of the nation after the American Revolution. I mean, time and time again. Well, Dick, I wish we had time to talk more about this, and I know that we will in the coming days.
We will.
Thanks so much for being with me.
Thanks, Stephen. It's great to be with you. Look forward to more times like this.
And you could log on to DerekPrince.org to find out about this series, find out more about revival, and find out more about what's happening with Derek Prince Ministries. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone in Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Wednesday as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic book, Doorway to Restoration, for only $9.95, give us a call toll free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to ask about your free copy of How to Fast Successfully. It's our gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at DerekPrince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at DerekPrince.org. That's DerekPrince.org.